So this is a physical book, Roman 10X, 1956, October, and it runs through January of 1957. It's a book that is, helps resolve many of the uncertainties of the previous books, because now I have good photographic documentation of what is happening. First few pages, just some families, nothing very striking. And then on Wednesday, October 31st, through Thursday, November 1st, a two-dimensional electrophoresis on the Douglas sample, the one that seemed to have an extra band for two-dimensional. On for two-dimensional at 11 a.m. with a small sample of Douglas whole serum, and off at 4:45 p.m. with a very good result. Shows that the extra zone is a slightly slow beta, and so the two-dimensional electrophoresis with a photograph makes it clear now that there is a what proves to be a heterozygous a sample with two different, again later shown to be transferrins. It's a rather good page, this page, early in this book. Good separations, the filter papers are shown, and the two-dimensional images, photographic image, not a very good photographic image, but perfectly clear result. Some problems of slow alpha 2 on November 1st, not very critical. Family on Thursday, the first, some auto entries, and then on Friday, November 2nd, this test is using an old gel, etc., etc., and I'm having images of the gel, which is a good step forward. Saturday, November 3rd, using a KB17 film, photograph various things. And also photograph the two-dimensional gel on the Douglas sample. Another family on November 5, and on November 6, happily again to see photographic images. Looking, and evidently I'd received a copper binding protein from I'll have to check who this sample was from, from whom the copper binding protein was obtained. On Tuesday, November 6th, I ran a gel to see where the copper binding protein, ceruloplasmin, as it was later called, would migrate, and also where an iron binding protein migrated. I don't know where I got these samples from, probably from Dave Pulick, who used to get various samples, but this was the beginning of trying to understand where the bands were from. But it was confusing because the iron binding protein didn't migrate with any particular band, and I just didn't understand the result yet, although later on I did. And the gel was developed with D prime 11 with D 11 think developer for 5 minutes. It's quite a nice image. And next page is devoted to photography. Again, re-photographed November 1st. Big gel with the KB17 film, developed 24 minutes, etc., etc. No improvement over them. And the two-dimensional one, trying different ways to improve it, but they were not too bad, as is shown on the following pages, which show photographed Tuesday's experiments on KB17 using 14 minutes of development at Adox E10 to bring out the contrast, but the contrast is insufficient. But D11 with 5 minutes, etc., there's some images of these same gels again, images of them with, I think I might as well get rid of it. Thursday, November 8th, more gels, and Thursday, November 8th, re-exposing the two-dimensional one. Here I see some of the cattle samples, although it's let me see what it says about that. Yeah, therefore try more contrasted films for bovine and two-dimensional, but there is a bovine samples compared on the left-hand page on November 8th, and shows the multiple bands that we could see in those samples from Charlie Hickman. It's a nice story about Charlie Hickman, because we went on and published about those samples and worked out the genetics, and all a long distance from Ottawa, where he said he was. And one day a guy walked into the lab and said, "I don't think he'll know who I am." A big tall guy came in and I said, "No, I don't know who you are." He said, "Well, I'm Charlie Hickman." And we had a delightful get-together. Collaboration at a distance and then eventual friendship in person. Friday, November 9th, more gel photographs of rather good images of both the cattle samples and the two-dimensional gels. Still struggling, November 9th, re-photographing thing. Unusually, the contrast rather too much, except for the faintest lines. November 9th. More families. November 12th, more gel photograph. That one quite nice. KB14th and D11 developer, and same samples again with the contrast only very little up from 8 minutes with D11. This was 15 minutes. Deva try Kodak microfilm, which with 5 minutes of D11 gives a gamma of 4. And a very high contrast film, which is the one that we eventually settled on. something, University of Toronto, some samples. Of a vaccine. Not very informative. More films, November 13. Expos Kodak microfilm, developed 5 minutes at D11. And slight improvement over KB14, D11, 15 minutes, and yet only 5 minutes with D11. And the two-dimensional gel is really way better than previously. F5.6, number 24, two-dimensional, still could do with an increase in contrast, but it's very much improved. The gel is beginning to sparkle, you might say. Some polio vaccines tested with a comment that an unwise experiment called the bands migrate at an increasing rates from right to left, but I don't know what they were, 42, 44, 49. Some person whom I don't recognize, C.J. Smith, recommends D85 for even greater gamma than D8. But with a need for a much longer exposure. But D85 is caustic and hard on the emulsions. And the contrast is visually is less than with D11. So try D8, but ask Kodak first. You can contact Kodak and you. And check with Kodak, and they said that D85 gives a lower gamma contrast than D11, and that D11 will give 4.75 as the gamma. They recommend D8 for increasing gamma more. The gels really are looking very good by November 14th. Microfile D8 for 2 minutes. The contrast looks greater than or equal to D11. A comment that I could always use ferrous cyanide if I have too high a density negative. November 14th comment. That the November 14th Wednesday contrasts best yet, even including Mr. Smith's large negative results. He was evidently the photographer, because it was the result used for the Nature paper. And so more images, two pages on, a whole bunch of images, obviously improved over earlier ones, and have a big red entry, D8, for 3 minutes in the future. Settled for D8 of 3 minutes. With microfile, and that's basically how we got to using that type of film. An interesting comment that a possible binding of aluminum three positives at MDP, that's De Pulik, had noticed the effects of an aluminum dish on staining, and so a little bit of attempts to improve things with aluminum chloride on the next few pages. with a comment that by morning the best was serum plus concentrated dye without aluminum, three positives. So it looks like ATCA breakdown is the chief stain in these experiments, whatever ATCA is. ATCA. Aqueous. Aqueous trichloroacetic acid, perhaps. Not clear and not very important. More families, more samples from Negroes. Friday, November 16th, tidying up old two-dimensionals, came across gels which were half dried out, and the increase in clarity was noticeable. In other words, you could get the gels became transparent when they were dried out, and this later was something I tried to do, was to make the gels transparent so that I could get better staining all the way through the gels rather than surface staining. It worked, but it was laborious. But this is the beginning of that thought this dried gel was steamed to flatten it out and used as a negative, and you could see quite well what was happening. But it comments that the 50% glycerol or 50% acidic methanol gels do not readily become transparent. So, need to get the refractive index properly. A benzyl alcohol, one of the highest refractive index, could be tried. I know, in fact, that it does work under the right circumstances. More families and chicks. November 19th, Negro samples plus chicks. Titration of adding hemoglobin in different amounts to Otto's serum. Tuesday, November 20th, two-dimensional. More tests. Then here, November 21st, trying benzyl alcohol for transparency tests. And looking at the distortion. And the distortion was very great at 100% benzyl alcohol, but it was 100% transparent. No sign of loss of dye. So I have a comment that the distortion when it's 75% benzyl alcohol is only just a little distortion, and the transparency is about 90 to 100% of the best, and this is very good. Pliability and shape is excellent, etc. But I never really use this much in practice. Continue with that idea. An alternative procedure would be to dehydrate the gels further by using higher methanol in the original wash before benzyl alcohol treatment, so that no further shrinkage need occur. Lots more samples. Transparency tests continued. November 22nd, which will continue. Not worth a great deal of attention, but it was something I was interested in, but never really followed up in any significant way. November 22nd, titrating the serum by adding different amounts of hemoglobin to get a sample, a Negro sample from Woodruff, fully saturated. I think at this point I still didn't know that this protein was haptoglobin. Transferency tests continue. Trying to get better results in the first dimension of the filter paper electrophoresis for two dimensions on November 23rd with different amounts of sample, 5 microliters up to 10 microliters. Some new methods of trying to insert the sample. Not very important. Results disappointing. Saturday, November 24th. Looking at the buffer to use for the first dimension, the filter paper electrophoresis. An XXM buffer was a buffer used at that time, and evidently the one that I liked best. Transparency tests continuing on November 26th. Trying some mixtures of benzyl alcohol and glycerol. Two-dimensional gels again, November 28th, but no photographs. November 27th, some transparency tests, now with images made from them. Very high contrast, contact gel. November 27th, what is cleared, that means transparency, made a two-dimensional sample, direct print onto F4 paper, useless, the paper is too blue sensitive. Tried different things, a contact print. 30 seconds, 17 seconds, etc., etc. dust must be avoided. But the present gel is much faded anyway, but I got fairly high very high contrast images. But too laborious to be worthwhile. It was interesting to see whether one could type the samples on filter paper without doing gel electrophoresis. And so 10 samples were given to MDP Dave Pulick for group trials on filter paper, and all but one were correctly typed. The poor one probably was low haptoglobin, as it was typed 1 instead of 2A. But it's interesting that they could be typed on filter paper, that the change in migration was enough to see on filter paper. But it was never used. Friday, November 30th, 10 unknown ones were sent to him today. For filter paper try, and then tested later by starch gel, and a fairly high success rate. About 2 out of 10 were wrong, but 80% could be typed by filter paper. Looking at some samples from individuals who had had severe reactions on transfusion. One person here was commented that this woman had serious cross-agglutination reactions with all tested donor bloods. Her serum clumped the cells, maybe cold agglutinins, but she had cancer of the bowel, and transfusion data says further blood to be given. I really didn't ever do much work on pathological samples. I think I left that to Dave Pulick, who liked that, and other people. Some different filter paper tests. 5mm papers, and S. Schleicher and Schull, 598YD, these papers, I remember the names, but not what were their properties particularly. Back to transparency tests on December 3rd, again with very high contrast images obtained with the transparent gels. Trying different buffers for the filter paper on December 4th. More families coming, still going back to transparency tests. Uh, trying to improve the filter paper electrophoresis on December 5th and 6th. New dyes, I have a new dyes being tested. Isocarmen, benzyl fast red, brilliant blue, sibilant scarlet, brilliant yellow, etc. To find something better than amido black. With the comment that brilliant blue, red, and scarlet blue are worth tests. Thursday, December 15th, more gel photographs of various type. None of them look very good at this point, which with Arthur's writing. Clearly the red filter and amino black gives the greatest density. Developed in D8 for 3 minutes at 20 degrees centigrade. Various filters. Tricitrate borate gels were tested, not very clear, on Saturday, December 15th, see Tuesday. Does comment on Tuesday, the December 18th, that the Saturday experiment was not well conceived. Aim to see if tricitrate will decrease the adsorption by binding calcium ion, possibly. So a tricitrate gel was tried. Some comments. I remember vaguely hearing about this when I was in a student in, where was I now? This was probably back in the days later. Let's try again. Tuesday, December 18th, there's a comment that, all in red crayon, that methyl thiol, a CH3SH excretion following the ingestion of asparagus, is thought to be controlled by a dominant gene, Allison and McCarter, Nature, and we tested it on that day, and I know later on it turned out to be not a genetic problem of excretion, but a genetic problem of the ability to smell the product. More checks on samples, large number of samples, December 19th, and several more pages of checks by Otto. Some tests of starch again, different starches on January the 3rd. Bovine serum received on January the 3rd from Ottawa, and were checked with the in a rather large gel, and typed into the types that later we understood, 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 2A. and bovine chicks on November 4th. Unfortunately, no photographs, but very clear agreement with previous data. There are check marks showing that the types came out correctly. Getting to the end of this book, another Baxter family with Otto running the jail. And here's a nice little comment, January 7th, written in hand from Charlie Hickman. Oliver, we had an accident with the enclosed blood. After receiving it in good condition from Charlestown, Baba Dunk, was put in the freezing compartment rather than in the refrigerator, and so everything was frozen. Hence much severe hemolysis. I don't know whether it's any good, so I'm sending it to you anyhow. So these were a large number of very hemolyzed blood. Presumably, this is a sample on January 7th of the material. Well, it is received on January 7th, the bovine sample with the note from Charlie Hickman, and run on January 7th, with a comment that hemoglobin contamination shows in all samples, the very heavy hemoglobin of 15. So of doubtful use. Although then a summary of the latest bovines is on January 8th, and a nice little summary of the results of one sample, though with one sample of 5315 already typed as 3, but it shows new names. The names have been changed, so there's a new name and an old name. Deciding what to call the sample, I think, rather than anything significant, because there are check marks against all of them showing that nothing is unexpected, it shows a new name and a number and presumably the old name. So one became 3, and 3 became 4. It's a little confusing, but solved in the end. Two-dimensional gel here. Showing that free hemoglobin and hemoglobin haptoglobin on a two-dimensional gel separated in both dimensions. They separated in the filter paper dimension. The hemoglobin haptoglobin migrated faster than the free hemoglobin on the filter paper, and yet in the gel the free hemoglobin migrated faster than the hemoglobin haptoglobin. So the two systems are different. And the book is almost ending with the latest bovine pedigrees, offspring, sire and dam. So I'm beginning to work out the inheritance. With a little comment that 520 2 sire was concurrent with 5205. Possibly the mistakes occurred at that stage of the breeding, because one sample did not fit into our hypothesis. 5202 and 5205. Everything fit our hypothesis as to the inheritance of these patterns. And in the paper that was published on them with Charlie Hickman and me, there's quite a long discussion about that particular mistake. But there really isn't any doubt that the pattern of inheritance that we worked out was correct. And the last two pages of the book are hemoglobin checks on a whole bunch of samples, 2A, 2B and 1, and on the left some charges for milling a plastic block. I don't know what for. And that's the end of this book.